Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Bill Holland is founder of R. William Holland Consulting, LLC, specializing in HR and career management. He has also served as Executive Vice President at Wright Management Incorporated and as Chief Human Resource Officer at Meridian Bank, the University of Pennsylvania, and the BP outsourcing business for Anderson Consulting. He's currently a Senior Vice President for Beam Pines, and he's the author of a new book, Cracking the New Job Market, The 7 Rules for Getting Hired in Any Economy. Bill, welcome to Edgewise today.
Thank you.
Now, the job market has changed significantly in the last decade. How has it changed? And what does that mean in terms of how people find work today?
It's changed in the kind of people that companies not only are recruiting, but the kind of people companies have to recruit. 3 things have happened in the job market that are really driving this. One is globalization and international competition for jobs and the production of goods. The second thing is the technology change. And the third thing is the way people have to look for jobs as a result of deregulation.
Mm-hmm. So could you expand on that?
It used to be that companies could afford to spend a lot of time figuring out who were the good employees versus the not so good and to whittle down the pile. That's all changed. It is critically important for companies, if they want to be competitive, to get people who know how to do one thing, create value. If they can do that, they improve their chances of both success and a return on shareholder value far beyond what other companies can produce. What that has done, in turn, is changed the recruiting process. It used to be that you could sit down and say, I have a PhD, or I have a college degree, or I have this and I have that, and therefore I'm a pretty good bet to hire. No longer. You've got to demonstrate, above and beyond all of that, that you have the ability to create value.
Right.
That's been the big change in the marketplace. So locating a job isn't just a function of the economy. Locating a job is a new deal altogether.
Now, in the book, you say that your resume is not about you. Can you explain this concept to us?
Your resume is not about you. It's about what people want from you. People say, this job is just perfect for me. It's got everything in the job I want. I'm a good candidate for that job. And they send their resume in and never hear back. It's called the black resume hole. And people wonder, what happened? Why didn't I hear back? Why am I not as good a candidate for that job as I think I am? Well, hiring managers now, with as many as 2,000 people applying for one job, don't spend any more than 10 or 15 seconds scanning a resume trying to figure out, is this a person that deserves a second look? And if you don't take time to figure out what it is that they want and to address that in the application process, if they can't tell in that 15 seconds that you deserve a second look, then your resume goes right into the trash can.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you can avoid that is to make sure that you are very clear about the value you create as it matches the value they are looking for.
Bill, are you aware of companies who are hiring using software maybe to pull out keywords from the resume to do an automatic filtering pass on the first batch?
That was probably the first major innovation in the recruiting process from a value creation standpoint. Companies were getting applications from all sorts of people.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, well, what we need is a software package that eliminates 90% of the people that send us resumes. So what we will do is create for a particular job keywords that are important. And let me give you an example of that. Let's say that a company is looking for an international executive compensation specialist. So what they decide is you need to put in your resume or in your cover letter 3 words: compensation, international, and senior management. If you don't have those 3 words, then you're going to get screened out. Now they've gone one step beyond that, because as organizations have gotten thinner, jobs have gotten broader, and it's more difficult than ever to simply screen someone based on words. So what they're doing is looking for people who have created value in the area that they're looking to recruit for.
Right.
There are a number of ways you can spot that. And the visual check now is coming back into prominence.
Hmm.
And big companies are using a visual check to try to find good people. In fact, they're doing more than that. They're casting as wide a net as possible. And it's not just through resumes. There are a variety of ways that companies are recruiting, trying to find the best people possible. Because the individual now is generating more income, more value, more return on shareholder equity than at any other time in the history of the world. So capturing the right person in that process becomes something that is of critical importance.
So it's almost like you're marketing yourself as a product.
Yeah, people are now having to represent themselves as brands. Because if you have a brand that someone can recognize, you are a this or you are a that, or you have accomplished these things, then companies find it worth their while to take a second look, perhaps invite you in for an interview.
Right.
The stakes for them are pretty high. The stakes for you are even higher. So having a brand that shines, that makes sense, that promises to create value is something that has great currency in the market.
Now, in the book, you also talk about networking. And I would assume that online networking now supplants face-to-face networking. Would you agree?
In the old dichotomy, you have face-to-face networking and you have looking for a job on the computer. And the truth of the matter is, almost all job searches, one way or another, involve the internet. So the question isn't which one do you use, the internet versus face-to-face networking. It's how do you balance the two? How do you use them together? And let me give you an example of that. You meet a person, I don't care whether it's face-to-face or through the internet or through your LinkedIn account, and you hit it off. Someone has said you're a good person. They think that you're the kind of guy this other person should meet. So you connect with that person. And the question then becomes, how can you leverage their contacts across the full spectrum of who they know?
Mm-hmm.
And the most efficient and effective way to do that is hardly face-to-face. I remember the outplacement firms used to tell people, you should connect face-to-face and then go have lunch with someone else face-to-face, then go have lunch with someone else face-to-face, outside of the fact that you picked up a lot of weight. You don't have time to do that much face-to-face networking. You can't do it. The maximum number of people that you can maintain close contact with, about 250. From an internet networking standpoint, there's an infinite number.
Exactly.
And you can visit them time and time again. So it's the mix between the two, not necessarily one versus the other.
So, Bill, which online sites do you think are the best when it comes to job search and career value?
There are a number of sites out there. So many now.
Yeah, there's an awful lot of noise out there.
So don't focus on a particular site.
Mm-hmm.
Visit what I call the site integrators, websites that steer you in a variety of directions based on what you are looking for.
Mm-hmm. For instance?
One of the best ones out there is the Riley Guide. Now, Margaret Riley, who has been in this business for years, has a site which will steer you to about 15 other sites that will help you focus on what it is that you want. To try to evaluate each of the sites on your own would take way too much time. So go to the integrators and get a much better idea of sites that will add value to what you are looking for.
Now, why do you think the role of passion in career choice is overrated? What do you mean by that?
It's overrated because it's a backwards concept. When I have asked people, how did you get to this profession? In 95% of the cases, there is an element of serendipity that cannot be accounted for in any career planning. Serendipity played a much larger role than some initial passion about something.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Can you give us an example of that?
Yeah, Paula Deen, who is a very well-known Southern chef on some of the cook shows. How did Paula Deen start out? Did she follow her passion because she loves to cook? No, she did that because she was a single mom with two kids and no money. So she started making box lunches for her kids to go peddle around to the various office buildings so she could make a living. So her cooking came not from a passion for cooking, but simply because she had to.
All right. Do you have any other examples?
there's Sidney Torres. Sidney's a garbage man, a very successful garbage man, I might add, has a company that's worth in excess of several million dollars.
No kidding.
Sidney's remarkable because you ask the question, how did you get from where you were to what you are now? Mm-hmm. You can't look into his background and say he had a passion for collecting garbage.
Of course not.
There's no test he could have taken when he was coming up that would have given you that answer. What Sidney did, what Paula Deen did, what a number of other people have done is learn how to create value in anything that they did. So when Katrina hit New Orleans, Sidney, rather than leaving town, stayed around and found housing for the emergency personnel that were coming into the city. And he very quickly developed a reputation for being able to do everything from get you a local doctor, to get you water, to get you whatever you need. When it came time for them to restore the French Quarter, they asked Sidney to see if he could find somebody who would pick up the garbage. And he couldn't find anybody who would do it for a reasonable price. So he got himself a couple of trucks and he started picking it up himself. That gave rise to something called STD Services, which is a garbage collection service. And this got to be so famous and so well known that anytime the people down in the French Quarter saw his trucks picking up the garbage, almost on demand, I might add, they would stand and applaud, because getting the French Quarter back up during that time was something that was critically important for the future of the city in terms of tourist trade. And he played a major role in that. So when you say, love your work and be passionate about it, you don't start that way.
Right. Now, do you have any concluding thoughts you want to leave our audience with?
I would say to people, find something you're good at, number one. And number two, make sure that what you're good at, somebody wants to buy. That is, you create value for someone who's buying that value. And then lastly, pay attention to circumstance and to serendipity, because you never know what's going to come along.
We've been speaking to Bill Holland, author of the new book, Cracking the New Job Market, The 7 Rules for Getting Hired in Any Economy, published by AMACOM, a division of the American Management Association. Bill, thanks so much for being with us today on Edgewise.
Thank you very much, Dave.
Today's business climate adds a new layer of uncertainty and accountability, making performance management even tougher to navigate. AMA has developed a new seminar, Performance Management, Minimizing Stress, Maximizing Effectiveness, which gives new managers a time-tested roadmap for developing and reviewing performance that aligns with rapidly changing priorities and organizational goals. For more information on this seminar, visit our website, amanet.org, and type 2822 into the search box. We'd love to get your feedback on today's program. You can either email us at podcast@amanet.org or call 800-697-3406. Your comments may become part of a future program. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.